Tollways Authority Strategic Planning Committee for Wednesday, June 19, 2013. Could we call a roll, please?
Dr. Weisman?
Here.
Dr. Thomas?
Here.
Dr. Sweeney?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Chair, we have a call.
Thank you very much. We do want to allow for public comment here, and certainly a possibility, but so I call, is there anyone who wants to remember the public would like to comment on anything related to our work here today? Apparently not, so I think we can move on. And at that, we're looking at approval of minutes for the Joint Finance Administration Operations / Strategic Planning Committee meeting held on February 20th, 2013. We have housekeeping to do here. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Minutes are approved. And the next item on the agenda is labeled Executive Director. Our Executive Director isn't with us today, but I'm sure there's able staff ready to jump in here. And so I will leave that open to whomever wishes to begin the discussion. The first item we have is Work Plan and Council Outreach Updates.
Sure. That's
No, just to introduce Rob Rosengarrow, who is, of course, our head of planning, and we've seen so many times. To talk about our work plan as well as our interchange policies.
With your permission, if I could sit here because it's a half full table and talking, we're only standing in front of the half full table. today we're going to kind of, a few different things. We'll do the work plan status update. This is the work plan that we actually created at the end of last year for what we'd be looking at for 2013 and 2014. Also give you some of the updates on our core council work, and really today's discussion is going to focus on, and I want to make sure there's a discussion about some of the work that's going on with interchanges and updating the policy. As far as the work plan goes, these are the items that we kind of established at the end of 2012 of what to focus on in 2013. I will give you some updates. First, with the customer and user surveys, there is some ongoing activity right now. Actually, next week we'll be starting some Elgin O'Hare Western Access Origin Destination surveys. We're going to have some boots on the ground type surveys with some consultant staff. We'll be handing out some survey cards to really learn more about who the potential Elgin O'Hare users are. And will help us kind of set up where we go with tolling and how we approach the overall project. And so some information that will also help attract some revenue reporting. That will be needed for future bond sales. So that survey work will start next week, and then we will actually have people out on site at the existing Elgin O'Hare on some of the extension where we plan to do some of the extensions of the Elgin O'Hare. So we'll start getting some data as far as that goes, and then we'll start sharing it with you. We're also doing some other survey work during the summer and fall and into winter. One of the surveys that we're trying to do, this is now with this more of a with the Elgin O'Hare project and our new interchange that we'll talk about being all electronic, trying to find out more about who our users are. So one of the surveys that we'll be introducing late summer or early fall is basically going to our 7 days to pay customers, those who decide knowingly to drive through our toll plazas and go online and pay. We want to find out a little bit more about who those people are, so we'll be direct online type surveys anytime somebody goes on to pay with 7 days to pay or call. Directing and asking to do some survey work. It's an interesting group of people. They are aware of the program that you can go on. They're obviously banked people who have access to credit cards and often do pay by credit. So we're just trying to find out who this group of people is and how, and really to find out why they don't have an iPass and if there's some incentive for them to get to this. And this again will help us as we look at our Elgin O'Hare project with all electronic tolling as well as some of the new interchanges we're building. In the same type of vein, we're going to be doing some cash lane demographic survey work later this fall into early winter when we still have clear images of license plates. We'll be doing some license plate captures and looking just at the demographics, not really looking at anything about the specific person, but the geographic information in-state versus out-of-state. Getting an understanding, basically looking at the zip codes and understanding the demographics of that particular license plate, the general people who are using cash lanes, again, to help us understand more about that that population of our users. So those are three of the surveys that will be going on. We'll also, we'll be initiating our Illinois 53-120 surveys that we've talked about for this new new study that we're going to be kicking off on the 53-120 project, what we call the willingness to pay type survey work.
She's telling me we'll be aware.
That's the entertainment that I like.
Teamwork.
So we'll be kicking off some of those surveys. We're actually right now we're working with our internal staff to try to figure out what the questions might be, and with some external staff we're going to be meeting with the CMAP in Lake County later this afternoon. As we develop these questions, things will be run by the Strategic Planning Committee and others to kind of make sure that we've got the right body of questions to get us to some of the answers that we, as the board may need to decide what the future of that project may be.
Rocco, other than that lab survey, are the earlier ones you talked about designed to figure out how to drive more people to IPAT?
We're designed to find, let's figure out who the people are to decide what we may want to bypass. We need to figure out how to, really it's the, with the new interchange we're building, 294-57, ramps out there, the I-47 interchange, Eola Road, there are a lot of all-electronic ramps that we have out there now. Elgin O'Hare itself is an all-electronic. So we're trying to figure out who this dwindling percentage of cash customers are, and to help us better understand how we may go about approaching the all-electronic aspect of the Elgin O'Hare. We need to figure out how we're going to either build them, or you don't want to discourage anybody from using the system. Mm-hmm. So what's the rationale for somebody paying cash or going to the 7 days of pay? What makes it convenient for them? What are the issues with it? So we can look more into how we look at the business rules for, say, the Elgin O'Hare or some of these other electronic plans that we're opening up.
So questions will be like direct questions. Why don't you have a transponder?
Why did you choose these 7 days to pay? The cash surveys, it's not going to be the work that we're going to do in the cash money.
I understand. Money,
that's just demographics. But yeah, the questions to the 7 days to pay will be specific of, why did you choose to go with this route? Is it cash? Is there concerns with somebody having to put up the $40 plus the $10 deposit?
Or not wanting to be tracked.
So that's the type of information we hope to glean out of those surveys.
Rocco, just two questions on that 7 days to pay group. You know what percentage of the users?
I don't know. We could find out what that is. I know business systems would have that information.
Just interested in
it. What we do know is 86% of our users are IPAS today, mm-hmm. since 14%.
Is that continuing? What's the pace of that growth in IPAS users? Does that continue to move upward?
Creep up, yes.
Okay. On the 120-53 survey, who is it that, do we do that, do we generate those surveys initially in-house, or do we have a consultant?
There's a consultant. We've used them before. We've done this with other studies that we've done, state of preference surveys is what they call. Mm-hmm. There's consultants that do this. It's not the same questions asked to every person. You can find out, you answer the first question, you may get taken down one track to kind of,
right,
dig deeper into it or into a different track. So this is something that is developed through the consultant team that we have for the 53-120 project. Okay. That was a requirement of the contract to have somebody on board to do the
survey. Yeah, I think it would be a bit of a science.
It is a very specialized, unique set of skills to develop the survey. And it's a lot of beta testing to make sure it actually works and gets to what we want. So with this one in particular, since it is very critical to making some decisions, it will go through multiple testing and multiple reviews, because we need to make sure everybody, there's buy-in and support into the questions that we are going to ask. So that's our customer and user surveys. Freight accommodation planning, we recently met, I was back in May, mid-May, with the Illinois Trucking Association Executive Director and the Midwest Trucking Association Executive Directors talk about a range of things that are going on. One of the things that specifically that we talked about was brought up at the FAO committee. It was the truck bed issue. How do we get more information out to their constituents as well? The safety aspect was another long discussion that we had. We've had some incidents in the work zones this year, and we want to make sure that is kept to a minimum. So we've got more of an outreach plan that we're working on with the trucking associations on getting their members' information about what's going on and be aware. They actually did a really nice piece in one of their newsletters, I believe it was the Midwest Trucking Association, really nice piece about the safety aspect and how the truckers should be thinking about what they should be thinking about prior to the construction zone, in the construction zone, and as they're exiting the construction zone. So it's a multi-pronged approach. So we just want to make sure that, you know, we are in sync with them as far as those safety messages go. That was one aspect of the meeting. We also will be doing some origin destination surveys and getting better information about who the truckers are in our system and how they use our system. There's some new regulations that will be going into play later this year that limit the amount of drive time that they have and their forced breaks. So that will increase some demand for parking along our system or off of our system. So we really want to find out what the truckers' needs are on our system. So we'll be doing some more outreach specific to the trucking industry to get to that and better understand how we may want to implement some truck parking facilities on our system and what the needs are for truck parking. We've also, the notification on the beds. The other thing that we've done with the freight planning is we've got at the end of this month, we'll have a new online application for permit application for overweight, over-dimension trucks. It's something that we've been working on for a while, and we're happy to see that actually go live this month. Right now, it's more of a paper-driven process, so it'll be a permit that the truckers can obtain online. So we're doing what we can on the freight side, continuing discussion. CMAQ is also establishing a freight committee that will be a part of the freight committee. The state has a statewide freight plan that we are also a part of. Multimodal planning, there's still a lot of ongoing work with PACE regarding the I-90 corridor, which will provide some updates there. Environmental sustainability policy, these are the first things that we're going to do in the first 6 months. Today at the FAO committee, another agreement was approved with FHWA to start putting together our green or sustainability rating program. So that will kind of give us some indication of how our projects rate out. It's comparable to a LEED certification. So that's some of the stuff that we had in the first 6 months. The things, again, we'll talk about today will be the interchange plan, which kind of is in line with other things that we had to work on. Briefly on the corridor council updates, I-90 corridor, we've done some public open houses since February. Again, let people know what's happening. It was really primarily directed at the western section. We've had a lot of stakeholder coordination with the counties, with the communities. We continue to work with Nissan Java, which is the utility company that runs all the water for 7 northwest suburban communities. We have to do a relocation of the water utility line out that way, so it's going to have a lot of work. We'll have an agreement that will ultimately be coming to the board with our coordination with JAWA. We're going to be doing some legislative outreach. We have been. We'll continue to do some legislative outreach on the I-94. That we also have another meeting this Friday with a lot of the Rockford area legislators to let them know what the construction is going to be out there, so they are informed as their constituents approach them. Elgin O'Hare Western Access, we established a local advisory committee about a year ago. We've been meeting pretty much monthly with this local advisory committee to provide them updates. They are really the conduit to the community, so that's actually been worked out very well. Very active participation with that group. We've had some open houses, and Itasca and Roselle to let people know exactly when it's coming. We've had, we do quarterly mayor's meetings with the mayors along the corridor. The next one will be July 12th. A lot of local agency meetings and establishing intergovernmental agreements, which will ultimately be coming to the board. This covers everything from maintenance to some cost-sharing items. And we recently DuPage recently applied for some CMAQ and Tiger funding for projects to help close the funding gap on that. Interstate 294-57, quarterly mayor's meetings is something that we've been doing for a while out that way, to let them know what's happening and when it's going to happen. We've been meeting a lot with property owners. It's helped us tremendously to make some significant strides in progress and closing out some of the land acquisition there. We've got newsletters, and now we have a brochure that's going to be coming online, more of a one-piece brochure to let people know what's happening, and when it's going to happen, safety aspects, diversity, how we are approaching the project, and when it's going to be complete. So we're excited about that new endeavor. There's also some work on the local technical assistance side from economic development that we are participating with. We plan on doing another open house in the summer of 2013 on the 294-57 project to let people know here's what's happening, what status of the project. You've seen a lot of construction at that point in time and when we'll be complete with it and what activities they will anticipate in 2014. And the Illinois 53-120 project, we will be reconvening our Blue Ribbon Advisory Council to kick off the project again in August. And as I said earlier, we'll be meeting with CMAP and Lake County on land use planning. That one of those meetings is actually today in the afternoon. Any questions on work plan or council updates?
I'm just curious what the mood is out there. Everybody on all of these councils seems to be comfortable with where we are.
It's a concerted effort on letting people know exactly where we are. So we share the good and the bad news. Mm-hmm. Let them know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. We understand with construction that that there are impacts. We know there kick up dust. We create traffic and backups. So I think overall the mood is they appreciate the information that is being passed along. I have to say with the Elgin O'Hare project, there was a growing level of excitement. So that's good. People, and that was one of our primary focuses, to let and going really out to the business communities, letting you know this is really happening. It's been talked about for 20 years. I don't think people believed it. And we are out there, you know, talking about it, but you don't see any construction yet. So, and you'll see some off-system work that people may not understand that's part of the project. So that one, people are very starting to get some excitement with it. 294-57, it's great to see the construction on that one. So, but you know, that one's been more discussion about the property impact and then also the construction impacts, because people are starting to see what's happening out there. By and large, it's okay. Like I said, our goal is always to give people more information than they need. And I think they do appreciate that because we keep them friends as we go along.
Thanks.
So really today's meeting I want to focus on the on our interchange policy and give you some updates. There's going to be a lot of decisions that are going to be coming to the board over the next 6 to 12 months about interchanges that we are advancing, in particular along the I-90 corridor. We're in the process of now drafting memorandums of understandings or intergovernmental agreements will be the next step. Which will ultimately have to be approved by the board. So I want to make sure that you understand what it is that we're doing and how we are approaching the project. I'd like to get some, definitely some support and feedback on how is what we're doing the right way to approach the project. So it's really about gathering a lot of input today. So, you know, some housekeeping. We'll give you some updates on our system today and the interchange policy. Right now, we have more than 100 interchanges of various types across our entire system. Some of them are toll interchanges, some of our untold movements, where at some point in time you will be toll system works. We have a combination of some classes that, are, that provide both the cash and an I-pass option, and all the new interchanges that we are building, we're building this all electronic, so that kind of goes through why we do the surveys. For an I-pass only or cashless type system. So we've got a, you know, kind of a blend of interchange types out of the system today. So to kind of explain how we got to where we are with our tolling system with respect to the interchange, I figured it'd be helpful to kind of give you a historical perspective. What we have is a closed tolling system. Now, what this really means is at some point in time, you will pay a toll on your trip. There are some movements, and this is an easy one, point to right outside here at Ogden Avenue. You can get on and off in all directions at this specific location and you don't pay a toll. But at some point in time along your trip, you will either pay at a ramp toll plaza or you pay at a mainline toll plaza. So your tolling is at some point in time you do get tolled. So it is a closed system. And the rate itself at particular ramp locations is based on really the distance to the mainline toll plaza. The closer you are to the mainline toll plaza, the different rates that will be depends on which direction you're going. But again, closed system, at some point in time, there will be a toll assessed along your trip. Some things that we've done over time have changed the way our tolls work. We've made some operational changes to benefit our overall system. We've removed some of the mainline toll plazas on our system. Some that we've done over time, this goes back to maybe 20 years or so. I-94 Deerfield Road, this is one of the first big mainline toll plazas that was removed. It was a major point of congestion. The toll plaza was removed and tolls were adjusted along the route. New tolls were added in certain locations. There used to be a quasi mainline interstate to interstate ramp plaza at I-90 Route 53 near Motorola. Back in the early 90s, that toll plaza was removed also, and we changed some of the, adjusted the rates up and downstream really pretty much downstream to compensate for pulling the mainline topaz. And most recently, in about 2003, Director Thomas familiar with this, we removed a major backup point on our system in the Rockford area, what was called the Cherry Valley Interchange, Interstate 90 to I-39. What we did there, we again adjusted mainline toll rates, but when we did this, we created some free movements on our system. We also have some other operational changes that affected how our approach to tolling is when we implemented open road tolling. Historically, all of our toll plazas were across all lanes of traffic in both directions. When we implemented open road tolling to implement the high speed movement through there, we had to split some of the toll plazas. One, or two in particular, was out in Belvedere and Marengo. We used to have two toll plazas crossing both the eastbound and westbound directions, and we split the plazas. When we split the toll plazas, we doubled the rates at each of them to compensate for the adjustment. But then again, what that did do is open up some different toll movements, and again, some we created some untold or some even free movements at that point in time. So that kind of affects how we are looking at some of our projects today. And now with the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project, again, it's an all-electronic roadway. The concept there, just to reiterate, is it's a new approach to tolling overall. It's a mainline toll, all closer spaced, and the mainline tolls will be basically in between interchanges themselves. So again, it's a closed system, and really the tolling there, it's the mayors along the corridor really support it and realize the benefits of it, because people will make decisions based on where they want to go, as opposed to making decisions based on how much they are paying at a particular toll or not paying at a particular toll. So it's more equitable, and your drive is more in line with how much you use the system. So that's kind of the interchanges and the historical perspective of where we are with tolling overall. Just a bit of a recap on our interchange policy. This policy, we originally introduced the policy in 2007, but it was updated in 2012. The update in 2012 was intended to really align what we want to do with our interchanges with the Move Illinois program. Economic development, job creation, equity, we provided some new opportunities for delivering projects, in which I'll kind of talk about how our approach to financing some of these. But it outlined requirements for local participation, typically where we were, where we are, is the tollways contribution is 50% cap, but there are some provisions now with this 2012 policy that allow us to look at a greater level of tollway participation. That would be if our revenue projections exceed 50%, if there is a strategic regional arterial roadway or main roadway that it connects to, there's a designated truck route, or some transit or other regional purpose for this interchange, it allows us to kind of think about our approach differently. If property owners own right-of-way and we're dedicating that right-of-way, that allows us to consider different ways. And if there's multiple agencies involved in the project, again, it lets us think differently about how we approach the toll. Another one of the changes, and clarity, I guess this was, is that we would only enter into agreements with public agencies on any new interchange projects. So it really kind of set more of a clear table. It was based on a lot of lessons learned over the 5-6 interchanges that we built under the old policy. It worked well, but there's always ways to improve. So the update kind of really brought in some additional flexibilities and clarity, I guess.
And this refers to new interchanges in your outline here. Were there, and I'm just trying to recall, did we do anything kind of distinguished or treated differently partial interchanges that exist now in terms of going to full interchange?
Yeah, that was another provision where we could consider a greater level of contribution because the thought always was if you built a partial interchange, you obviously must have thought at some point in time this is a location where you may want to go to the full interchange. So we did open that as an opportunity to contribute more to the overall project for partial interchanges. So the overall process, and this is kind of a list of the interchanges that we have out there. This is why this is important, because we've got a lot of potential interchanges that are out there, a lot of requests. What you see in blue, those are currently partial interchanges across our system. So we do have many of those, and there's always been a desire to at least make those full interchanges where we can.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
The names, got it.
Right, yeah,
not,
those are the
not
names.
Not the
lifesavers. Yes.
No. Yeah, right, exactly, yeah, the names that are included. So these are the different types of interchanges and locations of potential interchange requests. These are the ones, you know, I've got a file drawer four high that's full of many requests. At any point in time, it's, you know, 30 to 40 requests that are out there. So again, we have this new policy that really aligns with some of our goals. But the basic steps, again, is a reiteration of how a project moves from concept to into implementation. The first thing that we look for, and we're in this phase, and I'll kind of give you an update on several of these interchanges, is a memorandum of understanding. What this is, it's a document that we sign with whatever local agency or entities, whomever it may be, could be one, it could be multiple. It's a general outline of how we're going to proceed with the overall project. It stipulates how the tollway is going to advance the project, really under the auspices of the interchange policy, and what the local municipality must do. A lot of the work that the local municipality must do is related to starting to advance the project on their own. We look for them to do some of the economic development analysis. We look for them to do some of the advanced engineering, get some support for some general buy-in on that there will be a cost share from the local municipality. So it's really just a general outline to give us some sense that yes, we're going to move something forward and make something somewhat more formalized. That's the first step. Typically what we do is the locals will lead the planning or design effort. There has been some deviation with that, especially with the I-90 projects where we happen to be out there first, where there are bridges that we were taking down, or interchanges, current partial interchanges that we were working on, where we're already doing the design, taking down the bridge. So some of these new MOUs, we are taking the lead on the engineering, with the locals having to reimburse us for that. But typically it is the local who takes the lead on that. The other thing that we look for, as we proceed along, first it's the MOU, locals take the lead. We look for a local financial plan. We look for the locals to start really thinking about how are they going to finance their portion of the project. You know, we want them to really look internally to say, okay, is this something that we as a community want to do? And what is going to be their approach to finance the project, whether it be some kind of value capture, a TIF district special service assessments, whatever it may be. So they identify generally how they're going to come up with their source of funding. Then we move to an intergovernmental agreement, and then from the intergovernmental agreement we go to construction. So on the I-90 corridor, and this is, you know, really what I you know, want to impress upon you, is that there's a lot of movement on interchanges now. And a lot of it is due to our being out there starting construction over the next couple of years. These are the different interchanges where there is actual activity right now and things are moving forward. From top to bottom, I-90 at Lee Street, this is basically in Rosemont Plains, north end of O'Hare area. We've got a draft memorandum of understanding. We've been meeting a lot with these three entities. They have to start now buying into this MOU. We are taking the lead on some of the engineering work out there. We're taking down the Lee Street Bridge and also doing some work on the existing ramps. So we're doing some of the design work that will often be reimbursed to us if we move forward with anything. I-90 Elmhurst Road. This is a part of the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. This is, we talked about this at the FAO committee. There's some construction management contracts that were awarded or put on the consent agenda today for this interchange. But you know, this project is part of the overall Elgin O'Hare Western Access. So local contribution will come through the overall $300 million funding gap. I-90 Meacham Road. This is near Schaumburg Convention Center and IKEA. Highly visible place with actually no access to it. The village of Schaumburg has already approved and we've executed a memorandum of understanding outlining the general concept of how we move the project forward. This is going to be a new partial interchange with access from the west and to the west. That's what we were able to get into there to really help provide that economic development for that the north end of the Woodfield area, Road Meadows area, if you will. Roselle Road, this is currently a partial interchange. This is near the, this is at the west end of Schaumburg, east end of Hoffman Estates. They will be actually, Schaumburg is going to be taking this MOU to their board again, I believe next week. And this is a project that Cook County is also going to be participating in. They're very excited about this one. But we do have a draft MOU that will be executed shortly on that one. Barrington Road, we've already executed a partial IGA for this one. The Village of Hoffman Estates is the lead for engineering, and they've recently submitted a Tiger Grant application. The IGA that we have is for design. where Hoffman Estates is leading the design, we're going to share in the cost of design because they are going to be doing some design for our I-90 construction on our existing bridge and existing lanes. And the I-90-47 interchange, that's in construction. And Irene Road, we have an IGA for the eastbound ramp, and we also have an MOU for full access. So there's a lot of activity that's going on right now. These are agreements that will likely be coming to you in the next 6 to 12 months. And what I'm trying to work on right now is the putting the agreements together and the financial plan of this. I just want to give you some updates on two specific projects so you can see. The I-90-47 interchange, I know that was that's been talked about for a long time. What you see on the left is the concept drawing that we had when we started this work last year. Google Maps is now flown. Most recently, is in April, basically Northern Illinois, so it's really great to see the real progress that's out there. So on the left is what we conceptually drew up, and on the right is the progress from last month. So you can see this thing is really happening right now, a tremendous amount of progress. You can see how the new ramps will be built to and from the west. I want to talk a little bit about the partnership and how we're approaching financing of this project. This one's unique. This is the first time we've done anything like this. The way this project is being financed, it's a combination of putting tolls on the new ramps to and from the west, but the existing ramps to and from the east were untolled movements. And to help finance the project, we're going to be adding tolls to and from the west and also putting tolls on those formerly untolled movements. This was something that was supported by Kane County, McHenry County, and the Village of Huntley. Help finance the overall project.
And we think those untold movements were for historical reasons.
Those movements, it's a closed system. There is a toll plaza, mainline toll plaza to the east. To put the tolls on the untold movements, that's what was needed to help finance the project. Putting tolls on just to and from the west was not nearly sufficient revenue to generate what was needed to cover the tollways portion of the project. Overall, I believe it's about a $60 million, $61 million project. So putting tolls on just the movement to and from Rockford area, if you will, didn't have enough sufficient demand to drive the revenue. So the way to help finance this project was to look at tolls in all directions.
But the reason it hadn't been tolled was because there is a plaza just to the east.
There is a plaza probably about 6 to 8 miles to the east of their mainline toll booths.
Would it be uncommon for us to have a tolled interchange of 6 to 8 miles from the plaza?
For a mainline, yes. Again, that's how the original system was set up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I believe the ramps to and from the east were built in the 1970s as well. So it's this one was definitely different, but it was again something that was supported by the locals. They've been looking for the project for 30 some odd years. This is the way to get it done. Irene Road, I-90 to Irene Road. This, if you recall, was an agreement that we entered into with the Boone County, the city of Belvedere. What we asked of Boone County and Belvedere, I talk about this one because again, this one is absolutely unique. We told Boone County and Belvedere, we need land, we need right of way, we need land for our construction. We could use enhanced access through here. We had one ramp, as you can see on the left, that allowed access from I-90 just westbound direction. So they acquired about 15 acres of land in the southeast quadrant of Irene Road. And you can see where that big yellow circle is what you see on the right now. We are absolutely using the site. Material is stored there. We've got a concrete breaking operation through there. We've got direct and very easy access right back on the tollway, so that it was a tremendous benefit for us in this particular location where we had limited access. So the contribution that is coming from for this project from the locals is land acquisition, and they also did the preliminary engineering for the interchange itself. So this was definitely a unique way to look at a rural interchange through here. So there's a few other interchange projects that we have ongoing, just to kind of give you again updates of where we are with the overall Move Illinois program. IED Illinois 47, this is out in Sugar Grove. There is a draft memorandum of understanding that is out there right now, and IDOT has some funding program, a multi-year program for this project. So this one will be something that will be advancing. IDOT will be the lead for the engineering on this one, because there is going to be looking at the transfer some federal funds into the project from the Prairie Parkway project. And there's a few others, I-94, 173, up in the Antioch, Old Mill Creek, Wadsworth area in Lake County. That's just in discussion phases. I-90-23, if you look at the clips, there's been a lot of discussion about Marengo trying to advance an interchange in this area. But we have told them we need some information from them within that 6 months about how the interchange should look, so we can plan and design and build the right way. I-90 at Irene Road, Punxsutawney and Belvedere are still desirous of making a full access interchange through there, so they are going to start leading some design efforts to make that one happen, and now we're starting some discussions about how to approach financing of that. And then there's some other interchanges in Rockford, at Perry Creek, Spring Creek Road, and another one at I-294, Route 64, that is part of the Elgin Hair project. So as you can see, there's a lot of activity on the interchanges that you will start seeing some more work here. Any questions on the specific projects? Good. So really the crux of this discussion today is our approach to tolling and financing. And now that we're, you know, we've got the projects, we've got them identified, we're getting a general understanding of what the engineering and the concepts are going to look like, and the cost, we're getting to that point. We need to figure out how we are going to approach the financing. We have a general sense of how we're going to look at it, which I'll talk about. And then there's also the local share. Local share comes in two forms, either cash or some form of in-kind contributions, like you saw in right-of-way, or engineering work that they do. But the tollway share is based on net new revenues. That's the way we have in the policy. What we have the our traffic engineering consultant, CDM Smith, do is look at what the impact will be of revenues on a system-wide basis. We look at localized, what, you know, if we we'll say for the Illinois 47 interchange, we look at what that revenue will be for that interchange itself. But then we also have to look, more importantly, is what's the system-wide net revenue impact, because that is, shows us how much additional revenue will be generated. The localized interchange revenue is also, you know, takes into account the diversion people move from different interchanges. So we look at the net new revenues.
Right. So when, yeah, when you're looking at net new revenue, in a sense you're looking at paying off about 50% of the total cost.
About 50% of the total cost. That's always our target, to say what is the, what toll rate do we need to set,
right,
to generate 50%.
Right.
In some areas it's easier to do that than others. One of the changes that we had in the new policy, in the urban areas, it's a 10-year net revenue recovery period, or projected net revenue. In the rural areas, we extended out to 15 years, where those areas may not see that much growth. That seemed to be an equitable approach to that. So the ways, you know, we're looking at this, obviously everything that we're looking at right now is all electronic tolling for our future interchanges. It's been supported by locals. They get that, they understand that 86% of our people are on iPads. The approach that we've had historically on these interchanges, I want to make sure this is right, or if there's different things that we may want to look at this, is putting tolls just on the new ramps. This would be something that we did at IEDA, the old road. The interchange we built out in the Aurora area, it's a full access interchange. There was no access out there before. And the tolls, I should say, are only in one direction. So as we provided access to and from the west, the tolls are only to and from the west. So if we add new ramps, we could just put tolls on that direction if it helps recover the cost. At I-90-47, that was not sufficient to cover the cost. So we had to look at toll rates on the existing untolled routes. That's what we did for the 90-47 interchange. So it's tolls to the new ramps and tolls to the existing ramps. And tolls to the existing ramps were set, again, to get to that projected 50% recovery. We looked at premium tolls, and we have some interchanges that were set with a premium toll rate. This would be, for example, I-294 at Baltimore, the ramp that would open up last year, the bridge that was hit last month, or this month. What we have there is a toll rate that was established. This was just prior to the New Illinois program being adopted, that when it was originally established, it was going to be just a little less than twice the downstream movement. Today, it's about it's a nickel premium to get off at Balmoral as opposed to going downstream with it. So we have this that we've done before, is a premium toll at that location to help finance it. This might be something we have to look at, not just to help finance the project, but to control demand. We see at I-90 at Meacham Road, there is a limited capacity on the local crossroad, and there's a high demand because you've got Motorola, IKEA, Convention Center, you've got a lot of big businesses right there. So to control the demand on the local crossroad, we might need to look at setting a premium or maybe somewhat of a variable rate out there.
Is there really can we track that people don't get off at this exit because it costs 5 cents more than getting off through another exit?
Yeah, that's what Blubbersmith does. They look at that elasticity on their analysis to see what that rate is to
to keep people off.
To control the demand for that area. You know, they kind of look at who the users may be.